Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And we have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to call or keep listening. You'll learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question or if there's something that you'd like to talk about, well, this is your best opportunity. Call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Whether you're calling or listening, the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We were talking about the New Covenant, and the New Covenant is the promise of God for His children. It's His will for our lives. It's like a will that we would draw up to make some decisions on how our assets will be dispersed and distributed upon our deaths. That's what this New Covenant is all about. Jesus died to ratify this covenant, to make it effective. That's why His death has so much more meaning than what most of us realize. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the time we just look at it as the payment for sins, but it was also the ratification of this new covenant. And it's this new covenant that we live in today. And the writer of Hebrews puts this new covenant up, and he draws comparisons and contrasts to the old covenant. And he's trying to show that this new is better, it's superior in every single way. And this is what he says about the old. He says, the law, the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So this old covenant that God made with the nation of Israel, and it was a covenant between those two parties, and it was more like a contract. Right. So God had terms and conditions that He was going to carry out, and those terms and conditions were dependent upon the Israelites living up to their end of the bargain. So it was an if-then proposition. If you will obey my statutes, then I will be your God and you will be my people. So there were strings attached,
sure,
conditions involved. Not like this new covenant. There are no conditions. This is just God's decision, God's declaration, God's bringing it into being. That's the reality. So this old was merely a shadow. It wasn't the reality. We experience the reality in Christ Jesus. And then he brings up the sacrifices. The sacrifices could never make perfect those who draw near to worship. You know, one of the deepest longings of our hearts is this, to be able to draw near to God in perfect worship. We truly know in the depths of our hearts that true meaning in life, true substance of life, is going to be found in our worship of our Creator. And yet we're afraid to draw near because of this sin issue. And those sacrifices of the old covenant, they could never take away sin. So they never perfected us. They never brought us or delivered us to that point where we could have the confidence to draw near to God. But not the sacrifice of the new. Yeah. Jesus Christ died once for all. He took away all sin, and in exchange for that, declared us to be righteous in God's sight. And that gives us the confidence to go boldly into the throne of grace. Yeah. If you want to feel close to God, if you want to draw near to God in perfect worship, the only way to do so is on the path of the new covenant. Yeah. You'll never get there through the old.
Absolutely.
It's all about the new. That's basic gospel.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, Bob. Indeed, that is Basic Gospel. And you're listening to Basic Gospel, everybody. We want you to be a part of the broadcast and the conversation at 1-800-677-9377. If you're listening in the New York, New Jersey area, Washington, D.C., and Louisville or Denver, why, we want to hear from you. This program is especially for you, and we're live on the air right now to address your questions and take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So give us a call, friends. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. Bob had a very interesting question from Kurt, who emailed us this morning, and it has to do with relating to the Holy Spirit. He says, how do I relate to the Holy Spirit? I know the Bible speaks to eternal life as a relationship with the Father and with the Son, but I'm not sure how to relate to the Holy Spirit. Should I ask the Holy Spirit to teach me each time I open my Bible? Thanks for any insight that you may have for me concerning the Holy Spirit.
Well, the Holy Spirit is God. So there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates us. We're born again of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and takes up residence in us. The Bible says God has come to live inside of us. Jesus Christ has come to live inside of us. But they've done so through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is alive, living in us. And the Holy Spirit is constantly initiating to us. For example, he bears witness to our human spirit that we are indeed children of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is constantly doing in us. Romans speaks to that. Paul in Romans 8 really lays that out in a beautiful way. So God's Spirit testifies to our human spirit that we are children of God. How do you respond to that? I think you say thank you.
Yeah.
I think that's the response of faith. Not only does the Holy Spirit do that, he puts new desires in our hearts, and he leads us from within. So we are to be led by the Spirit. So in situations, we aren't necessarily going to know what to do, but God, through his Spirit, puts desires for us right there inside of us.
Right.
It's our responsibility to follow, to carry them out. As Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The Holy Spirit is constantly going to be teaching us truth. He's constantly going to be taking the things of the Lord Jesus and making them known to us. So our response to him is one of thankfulness, one of dependence, one of reliance. That's what this thing called faith is all about. So our walk of faith is really manifested in a dependent relationship upon the Holy Spirit who lives within.
Yeah.
So it's a marvelous question, and I think if we will embrace this and grab hold of it, we will learn the secret to experiencing victory and peace and joy in this present life.
Yeah.
It comes through abiding in Christ himself through his Spirit.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate the question from Kurt, and all of those of you who write to pose your question. If you can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air live, which of course is 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock Eastern time, 3 o'clock to 4 Central time, why, we encourage you to drop us an email, and we'll be glad to address your question as well, as we're about to with Brian after I give the number, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. We're here to address your questions. From Brian, who writes to us from Leicester, Massachusetts, I think I pronounced that right, says, Scripture says that Jesus died once for all, meaning one atoning blood sacrifice, and yet the Catholic Church believes that a so-called transubstantiation takes place during the ritual in which the bread and wine literally become the body and blood of Christ. It seems to me that the priest is, at least symbolically, calling Jesus down from heaven to sacrifice himself all over again. Could the Eucharist of the Catholic Mass be considered blasphemous? I'd just like to get your thoughts on that. That's from Brian, who writes to us from Massachusetts.
Well, certainly people have described it with that word. I think a lot of what the Catholic Church does in the communion or the Eucharist is based on words of Jesus in John 5 and 6, primarily in 6, where he talks about the bread of life, he who eats me and he... you know, he gives all of that language, And I'm sure you kind of scratch your head. Well, yeah. I think the Catholic Church has just taken that, and that's become the foundation for transubstantiation, that the actual wine and the actual bread become the actual blood and body of Jesus Christ. I don't think the Word of God teaches that. We partake of his blood. We partake of his body by faith. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus said, that if you believe in me, so he says this, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. So what does it mean to feed upon Jesus Christ? Well, this whole section is couched in terms of belief, of faith, of trust. How do we feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we partake of his body, of his blood? It's by faith in the living Christ.
Yeah.
So that's the message that he's getting at. The transubstantiation is an interpretation of this. It's become an oral tradition that's been passed on in the Catholic Church. There's more meaning to it than just that it becomes the actual blood and body. It's symbolic, not only symbolic, but you have to go through that in order to inherit mm-hmm. eternal life. That's right. One of the sacraments. If you don't participate, then you can't expect to be saved.
Right.
So that puts it in the category of a work. This is what you have to do to be saved. The Bible teaches something completely different. We are saved by grace through faith. Mm-hmm. And if we will grab hold of that, this Christian life will just explode inside of us in such wonderful, wonderful ways.
Yes. Brian, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you.
1-800-677-9377 is the number. Let's go to Washington, D.C. and talk to Lynn, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Lynn.
How you doing, sir? God bless you and your ministry.
Well, thank you. Thanks for your call today.
No problem. I have a question. I'm wondering why I would say the majority of churches teach that we are, as Christians, to tithe our income. When the Old Testament was talking to the Jews, and in the New Testament it says we're supposed to give as God purposes in our heart.
Well, Lynn, that is a great question, and you do find that in the majority of churches today, a teaching of a giving of 10% as an obligation, as a sense of duty, as a requirement. Exactly. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. In this new covenant, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we are to excel in the grace of giving. We are to respond to the work of God's Spirit in our hearts, which is grace, and give accordingly. And when we do, we can give joyfully, we can give cheerfully, we can give not under compulsion, but just out of the sheer joy of wanting to bless someone who might be in need, the sheer joy of promoting the good news of Jesus Christ. And whatever amount you give in the grace of giving is between you and God. It's going to be the byproduct of the work of God's grace in your heart. Now, the reason we don't teach that is I think if we believe that we do, we're afraid that we might not get the money we need to continue to operate. A lot of times we teach tithing out of fear.
And so they're telling us that we don't have faith to give the tithe, but then they're not operating in faith that God will provide. They're the ones actually not operating in faith, the ones that teach it.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's fear that's motivating that, and not a reliance upon the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ to provide according to his riches and glory.
Yes, sir. Yes. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your answer. And like I said, God bless your ministry. You are truly teaching biblical Christianity, and I thank God for you.
Well, thank you, Lynn, and thanks for your call. We've done a CD and have a resource on tithing and giving, new covenant giving. Let me put you on hold. I'd love to send it to you, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks, Lynn. You hang on.
All right, bye-bye.
Time and open lines, 1-800-677-9377. I want to remind you, friends, that this ministry is supported through the prayers and gifts of our listeners, people who have heard truth and responded to it, and of course, today is no different. Your support is vital if we're to remain on the air with the good news of the Basic Gospel. If you can help us at this time, please go online to basicgospel.net or call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828 and join with us with a generous gift to Basic Gospel. It's the message God wants us to hear. Again, that's basicgospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. And when you do, we'll send you a copy of our CD called The Basic Gospel Journey. Yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. And I hope many people will take advantage of it. A couple of other announcements before we go back to our phone lines. Next Tuesday, October 1st, we're going to start a new series on this particular broadcast. We'll still be inviting your calls, encouraging you to call each and every day. But we're going to take a 23-day journey through the book of Revelation. So every single day we will work through one chapter. There's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. Right. We're going to start with an introduction. October 2nd, we'll dive into chapter 1. Mm-hmm. And we want to provide a framework in which to see this book in a new light. I think for many people, Revelation is a book that just scares the weebie-jeebies right out of them. It's frightening. Some of the language is scary, and it's hard to figure out exactly what John is trying to communicate to us or what the Lord is trying to communicate to us through these words. So we're going to look at it through the lens of the good news of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at it in terms of Revelation resting on the four promises of the new covenant. That's why we're going over the new covenant this week and right. talking about that on the broadcast. But one of the things that we're going to be doing next month is providing a Revelation daily
supplement, probably.
That's right, program. Absolutely. Yeah. And we're going to send that to you via email. But for you to get it, you have to sign up and join our email subscription list. Yeah. And all the information on how to do that is on our website at basicgospel.net.
Yeah.
So sign up and then expect to start receiving your Revelation daily next Tuesday. You'll get that in your email box about 9 o'clock in the morning. Read through it and then join us in the afternoon and we'll discuss it. And I think it's going to be a marvelous way to work through this book together and to really see that it is the culmination of the good news of Jesus Christ. It is a book of hope, a book of encouragement, a book of victory. If we will grab hold of that, I think Revelation will just rejuvenate our life. So join with us next month.
It will be a revealing journey through the Revelation.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Okay, so click subscribe in the upper menu at basicgospel.net and get signed up for the email list, and we'll provide that supplement for you every day, every one of the 23 days of that particular study.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to New York and talk to Barbara. Hi, Barbara.
Good afternoon. My question, when I was a little girl at 11 years old, I was baptized in the water and filled with the Holy Spirit. My question to you is, do you believe baptism is important for the Christian? Because in John 3,
yes,
in John 3:3, it's Jesus says, I say unto you, unless one is born again of water and spirit, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. And I'm amazed now because I'm much older, and some people I run into, everybody has a different interpretation and a different feeling about it. And I just wonder, how do you feel about it? Because do you believe that is central, important for the Christian? Because the Lord says,
I don't believe you have to be baptized in water in order to be saved. We certainly have the example of the thief on the cross in Scripture, one who was not baptized in water, but the moment he died, he was with Jesus in paradise. So I don't think it's essential to be saved. I think there's an importance to it. You ask about John 3, that we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. There's a couple of ways to interpret that. In Titus chapter 3, Paul writes this, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ the Lord." So the washing of rebirth is a washing by the Word, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then we're born again of the Spirit. Our good friend Major Ian Thomas used to interpret John 3 simply this way, that being born of the water is being born of the flesh. It's our physical birth. And then being born of the Spirit is our spiritual birth. It's being born again. So those are the two ways to look at this. So in both of those, water baptism really doesn't enter the picture. No, it doesn't. The baptism that saves us, Barbara, is a spiritual baptism. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit. That means we've been placed into the body of Christ. It is a significant transaction that takes place. Incredible things happen inside of us, such incredible things that they're worth celebrating. And I think that's what water baptism is. It's a celebration of what Jesus Christ has accomplished in our lives. So when we go into the waters, when we are, you know, go down to show that we've died with Christ, that we've been buried with Christ, and when we come out, we show that we've been raised with Christ, that is a celebration of what's happened to us spiritually. So
that's being born again of water and Spirit. And I know the scripture also says that there are many false prophets that come into the world that try to divide the word of God. And I do believe that it says that it is hard for the natural man to understand the word of God. They distort it, they twist it, they divide it. In reference to also tithing, your other caller said, "I've tithed since I was a little girl. Gave something to the Lord."
Well, let me just say this. Let me just say this, Barbara.
It's true. You can't change what his word says.
Nobody's changing the word, Barbara. Hang on. I'm not going to argue with you, Barbara. The fact of the matter is this, that our salvation is dependent upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Anytime we try to add to that, by saying that it's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our water baptism, we have taken away from the sheer power of the gospel. Paul was sent to preach the gospel. It's this gospel that saves. What is this gospel? The fact that Jesus died according to scriptures, the fact that he was buried, the fact that he was raised the third day according to scriptures. That's the gospel that saves. We have the wonderful opportunity to celebrate that through water baptism, but it's all on Jesus.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob. Well, friends, we have something special for you for the rest of this month. It's a CD entitled The Basic Gospel Journey, and it can be yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. When you request your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey, you accomplish two very good purposes. First of all, you'll discover the riches of God's grace that can guide you into a deeply abundant experience of life in Jesus Christ. And second, with your generous gift of any amount, you'll be helping to ensure the continuation of this radio broadcast where you live, work, or play. The truth is, we have to pay for airtime for this broadcast. And for that reason, we're dependent upon the gifts and prayers of people just like you. It is you, through your gifts, who keep the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ coming on the air every day. So to request your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey and make your most generous gift of any amount to support this radio outreach, visit basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's basicgospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. May God richly bless you and multiply your gift to Basic Gospel. While you're at basicgospel.net, as we said just a few moments ago, Be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. In October, you're going to want to be on that list. We'll be sending out day-by-day email supplements to our 23-day study on the book of Revelation. So click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and you'll be all set for that exciting study. Well, now for Bob and Richard and all the staff at Basic Gospel, Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a great evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.